If you have your Bibles, take them to and turn to Luke chapter 4.
Luke chapter 4.
How many of you have ever been to a doctor? Well, it's an easier question. How many of you have ever not been to a doctor? Anybody? Okay, so everybody's at least been to a doctor once. Now, why did you go? I'll tell you. Let me see if I can guess. I'm pretty good at this. Let me see if I can guess. I'll bet that you went to a doctor because you had something wrong with you physically. And you hoped that by going to the doctor, he would be able to relieve you of your suffering. Am I right? Aren't I amazing? Well, I knew that from all of you. Obviously, forgive my teasing, but the same reasons that prompted you to go see a doctor are exactly the same two reasons that prompt people to experience Jesus, the physician. That's what we're going to look at this morning. If you go to the text with me this morning and examine some of the other ones, you'll realize that the two things that enable people to encounter Jesus, the great physician, is first of all, an admission of need, and secondly, the pursuit of his help. There's probably some people here this morning who have experienced Jesus' healing power. Any of you have ever experienced the healing power of Jesus? Okay, a number of you have. Well, this morning, I let you know that you, all of us here, can experience the Lord's healing touch. And I trust that as we review the scriptures, as we celebrate what he made available for us through his death, that we will in fact be able to enter into that dimension of his life. Why don't we ask the Lord's blessing on our study together? Father, thank you for the way that your word continues to reveal the majesty and glory of who you are. We pray that as we look at this title that was attributed to you in the scriptures, the physician, we pray, Lord, that you would again open up your word and open up the essence of your nature to us and help us see you for who you are. For Lord, when we see you, that's enough to draw us into your embrace and to encounter you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The first thing that prompts us to go to a doctor is the admission of need. Now, I know, depending on the disease and depending on the sickness, sometimes it's a little embarrassing to go to a doctor. I'm not sure I want to tell him this. But it's the same thing that prompts us to go to the Lord in admission of need, and it's the same thing that keeps us from going to the Lord in terms of an embarrassment, either with people or with him. In Luke chapter 5, verses 27 to 32, we read these words. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. Follow me, Jesus said to him. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Plain and simple, dear friends, healthy people do not need a doctor. People's lives who are all together don't need help. People who are 100% righteous don't need a savior. You agree with me, don't you? Do you know anybody who's 100% righteous? Well, neither do I. But people who are 100% righteous don't need a Savior. And people who think they are righteous don't think they need a Savior. I remember sharing Christ with a guy one time, and in an attempt to sideline my argument or my persuasion of Jesus, of him towards Christ, he said to me, you Christians, you're all the same. He says, you know what? Christianity is for weak people. Jesus is just a crutch. And I think I shocked him when I agreed with him, and I said, I agree with you. You know what? I was a cripple. Why is that? That's not a put down. That's just an acknowledgement of what Jesus said. It's the sick people who know they need a doctor. People who think they're healthy will never come to Jesus. If you want to encounter Jesus as the healer, the first thing is admission of need. The number one thing that keeps people away from the healing power of Jesus Christ is pride. That's it. It's pride. We think we've got it all together. We want people to believe that we've got it all together, and we certainly don't want to do anything or say anything that would make it appear otherwise. Do you remember the story in 2 Kings chapter 5 of Naaman? Remember that story? Let me quickly review it for you. Naaman was the captain of the army of Aram, and he journeyed to Israel to seek out Elijah the prophet, because Naaman, although he had a very high position in his country, he had leprosy. And through a series of events, he found out that there was a God in Israel who could heal. And so he made his way over to the neighboring country of Israel and sought out this prophet Elijah. Well, he went to him in order to be healed. Well, Elijah stayed inside his tent and just sent a messenger to him telling Naaman, just go bathe in the Jordan River 7 times and the Lord will heal you. Well, this made Naaman furious. First of all, Elijah didn't even show him the courtesy of coming out to see him face to face. I mean, didn't he know who he was? He wasn't just your average guy. He was the commander of the army. He was who's who in Aram. You don't just tell this guy, go do this. And secondly, go take a bath. What? A bath? You're talking to the commander. And in the Jordan? Come on, the Jordan? We've got better rivers than that in Damascus. Don't give me this bathe in the Jordan kind of stuff without even seeing me. He poked a hole in his balloon of pride. And Naaman went away furious, stomping back with his leprosy on his way to Aram. We pick up the story chapter 5, verses 13 and 14. Naaman's servants went to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he asks you, when he tells you, wash and be cleansed? That convinced Naaman, so the scripture says, so he went down, dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times. Must have been a humbling experience for this guy. But as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. Once his pride was broken, he admitted his need, he came to the Lord, and the Lord healed him. In James chapter 5, verses 14 to 16, we often miss this very key part in the instructions about praying for the sick that is in that passage. The passage says, is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. That's where most people stop when they say, we tried that in our church, you know, and it doesn't work. So we don't do it anymore. Excuse me, did you read the whole passage? What's the next part? It talks about the process, then it says, if he has sinned, he will be forgiven. The very next words are, therefore. And whenever you see a therefore in Scripture, back up and see why it's therefore. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. You see the connection? The prayer of a righteous man, it says, is powerful and effective. Well, what's a righteous man? Anybody here righteous in and of themselves? No. The righteous man, the righteous woman, is the one who has acknowledged that we are not righteous. We've bent our pride. We've bowed in the presence of our Master. We've admitted to Him that we are less than we should be. We've received His forgiveness. He makes us righteous. Then our prayers become powerful and effective. Once the pride is broken, dear friends, the healing power of God is free to flow. Let me say it as simple as I can. The number one reason why most people do not encounter Jesus the physician is pride. Now let me explain to you why that is and how it works. As human beings, God has made us 3 sections to our person. There is the body, which is visible to all of us. There is the soul, which is our interior person, made up of the mind and the will and the emotions. And then there is the spirit. When we experience lack of health in our bodies, we're usually very aware of it. Something hurts, or it's not working. In a similar way, when something is wrong on the inside of us, we may not admit it as quickly, or we may not feel the pain as quickly, but we're also aware that something is wrong. Our emotions are giving us signals. Our mind may be giving us signals, or our will may be causing us problems. And we can experience pain in that level as well. Have you ever noticed how when you're scared, if you have fear, how that can make your muscles tense up? You ever notice that? Or it can give you ulcers? The body reacts to what's going on inside of you in the soul. Modern studies are even proving that there is a direct connection between the body and the soul. They've proven this in identifying diseases and in restorative therapy. There's a connection between who we are on the inside and who we are on the outside. But where modern medicine falls short is in failing to continue that connection to the innermost part of our being. Just as there is a soul inside the body which affects the body, so the Bible indicates there is a spirit inside the soul. And that spirit affects the soul as the soul affects the body. It's the interior, the most significant part of our being on the inside. The spirit of man, of humans, is the part of us that relates to God. Remember when Adam and Eve fell into sin in the Garden of Eden? It was their spirit that rebelled against God. It was their spirit that caused their will to decide against Him and to choose. It was their rebellious spirit that caused their mind to rationalize that they could do this and get away with it. And once that relationship with God was broken in the spirit, remember God who said, the day that you eat it, you will surely what? Die. Did they drop dead physically? No. Did their mind automatically go out? Did their emotions cease functioning? No. Did their will stop functioning? No. But what died? Their spirit. Something began in the inside of that person which slowly began to move outward. And the death that took place in their spirit began to move outward. It began to permeate their soul, their mind, will, and emotions. It then began to affect their body so that sooner or later that body dropped dead. Death has worked its way from the inside out. Every single one of us are damaged genetically. Why should that surprise us when people say, oh, that's genetic? Of course it's genetic. We're all damaged physically, every one of us. But we are also damaged in our soul. Anybody here have trouble with their mind? What's your name again? Anybody have trouble here with their emotions? Anybody have trouble here with their will? Yeah. Paul said, the things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I end up doing. Wretched man that I am, what's going on inside of me? Well, Paul, you've been damaged by sin. Death has worked its way through your system. And just as we have been damaged physically and we've been damaged in our soul, it's because we have been damaged in our spirit. We've all been wounded inside and separated from God. Now, what would you think of a doctor who prescribed a Band-Aid for lung cancer? Would you go to him again? Or how about if you went to somebody and were really troubled with fear and he said, take Tylenol? No, he said, give me a break. You see, a good physician always tries to get at the root of the problem. He doesn't deal with surface stuff. A good physician goes to the root. Because he knows if he can pull up the root of the problem, the fruit of the disease or problem automatically falls away. All that to say, dear friends, this is why pride is such a killer. Do you realize that it was pride that got Satan kicked out of heaven? That made him become, from Lucifer, made him the star of the morning, the angel, go to Satan? It was pride. It was pride, if you trace it, that ultimately got Adam and Eve kicked out of the Garden of Eden. And it is pride that keeps you and me out of the wholeness that God has in store for us. It's pride. Stinking pride. And I can say that to you because I wrestle with it just as much as you do. If we want to meet Jesus, the great physician, we must first of all admit our need. And in order to admit our need, it means a death blow to our pride. And that's probably the hardest thing about this whole thing. You know, I can just picture Naaman, because I see it happen in services so many times. You know, as a pastor, I'm privileged to work with people, not just on a surface, but many of you have allowed me very much into the depths of your life. And consequently, when I'm talking to people, I don't just talk to a mass of people. I talk to individuals. I know people are hurting. I know people, marriages are falling apart. I know people are struggling with parent-child issues. I know people have raging problems in them. And I know that every single one of us here, both those who have shared them with me and those who haven't, every one of us have issues. I know that. And that's why it puzzles me sometimes when we present Jesus and we say, here's something he has for you. How many want it? And people go, you know? Stand up and admit your need, and people, it's almost like they're glued to the chair. So many people come to me after service and says, I wanted to stand, I wanted to go forward, I wanted somebody to pray to. I said, why didn't you? I don't know. I know. It's called stinking pride. We don't want anybody else to know. What? Bathe in the Jordan? Go to the front? We must admit our need. The next step, of course, is to pursue the doctor's help. Now, before we pursue a doctor's help, of course, the obvious question is he qualified to help me? You don't go to a skin specialist for a toothache. You don't go to a brain surgeon for ulcers. Well, does Jesus qualify for the pain that you and I are in? Listen to these words from Isaiah 53. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. I don't know if you've ever looked at that verse in light of what I've shared with you about the body, soul, and spirit. It says there, by his wounds we were healed. The healing ministry of Jesus. Look at how it permeates our person. Go back. The writer here goes through those three categories one way, reverses, and backs up and covers them again. He says, surely he took up our infirmities. What's an infirmity? What? It's a physical weakness, okay? Body. He took up our infirmities. He carried our sorrows. What's a sorrow? That's an emotional pain, okay, dealing with the soul. We considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted, but he was pierced for our transgressions, sins, in the spirit. So he goes body, soul, spirit. Then he reverses it. He was crushed for our iniquities, sin, in the spirit. The punishment that brought us peace in the soul was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Physical. He covers the gamut. Jesus' death on the cross of Calvary wasn't just to bring us back into right relationship with God. Hallelujah, it was that, because that's where it starts. That's where it was initially broken, and that's where it starts. But when Jesus brings us back into relationship with God, he reverses the damage of sin. The sin that corrupted me, that began in my spirit, destroyed and corrupted my soul, and is affecting my body, has been dealt a death blow by Jesus Christ. So that when I come back to him and allow that pride which destroyed my relationship, when I allow the pride to be broken and I come to him in humility, then he restores me to God and he begins to work in me, in my spirit, in my soul, and out into my body, the wonderful healing life of Jesus Christ. That's the message of the gospel. When Jesus Christ shed his blood on Calvary, he opened up the way for our estranged spirit to be reunited with God. When we confess that pride and submit to his lordship, then that relationship, as I said, has been healed. And it goes outward from there. Now, I realize this morning on this subject, there are all kinds of questions. And although we will not know our complete healing until the day we see him face to face, just like we will not know our complete salvation from sin until we see him face to face. We experience it in measure now. I'm free from the penalty of sin, total, today. Hallelujah. I am being made free from the power of sin as I learn to depend on him. Hallelujah. But I will not be free from the presence of sin until I see him face to face. In the same way with my healing, I am free from the penalty of death. Death, where is your sting? Where is your victory, O grave?
Bill Preston died, but he's free from the sting of it. It's over. I am becoming free from the power of sickness and death as I learn how to lean on the Lord. But I will not be free completely from the totality of death until I see Him face to face. But my healing in all dimensions was provided in the blood death of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. In my spirit, my soul, and my body. That's what Jesus is desirous to give us. Listen to these words in Luke 4. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And then He rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on Him, and He began by saying to them, "Today the Scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of Him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from His lips. Now you would think, if Jesus was preaching here this morning, and He got up and read those words, and basically said, "I'm here for you. I'm here to release you. I'm here to heal you. I'm here to set you free. I'm here to restore you." You think the people go, "Yes!" and run up and say, "Can we have it?" I mean, wouldn't that be like most church services? How does it continue? "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. Scoffing, "Joseph's son, just Joseph's son." And Jesus said to them, "Surely you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself. Do here in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum.' I tell you the truth," Jesus continued, "no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time when the sky was shut for 3.5 years. And there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian." Have you ever wondered what it was that kept the people in Naaman's time, all the other lepers, from experiencing the Lord's healing touch? What was it that prevented people in Nazareth, Jesus' hometown, from knowing Him in that way as the great physician? And what is it that keeps you and me today from experiencing Him as our healer? It's not just airlines flying over so we can't hear. Have you ever? I know you've asked that question. Why, if the Bible says He is my healer, why don't I experience Him this way? Well, there's many reasons why people don't come to Jesus, the great physician. As I mentioned, the primary reason is pride. Sometimes it's fear. Sometimes it's misinformation. Sometimes it's questions that can't be answered until we get to heaven. And sometimes it's anger over how He has mishandled another case that we thought He should have done differently. There are many reasons. And today I don't have all the answers and I don't have the time to present them even if I did. But what I do know this morning I declare to you. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is still the great physician. And dear friends, today the doctor is in. And He's here to minister to you and to me. He breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood availed for me. Hear Him, ye deaf, His praise, ye dumb. Your loosened tongues employ. Ye blind, behold your Savior come, and leap, ye lame, for joy. The great physician heals the sick, the lost He came to save, to spread abroad throughout the earth the triumph of His name. Lord Jesus, just as we will readily go to a doctor on this earth, hoping to have some relief for physical pain, even though we don't know all about Him, even though we've never studied His credentials or His track record, or somehow we're willing to put faith in that so quickly. And yet, Lord, sometimes we're so hesitant to come to You. Forgive us for our pride. Forgive us for our waywardness. Forgive us for running to anybody and everybody before we come to You. Lord, we thank you for the many physicians that you have given this world. We thank you for the study of medicine and all that has been learned. We thank you that you use this often to help people and to relieve pain and suffering around the world. Lord, this morning we acknowledge you, though, as the great physician, the ultimate physician, the one in whom our healing and health has been provided for in its totality, spirit, soul, and body. Help us celebrate that this morning, Lord, and help us to come to you in our hour of need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we celebrate communion this morning, as our stewards come and as our musicians come to remind us of the truth we're singing, I simply remind you that on the cross of Calvary, when Jesus died, it was by that sacrificial death that his body was broken for us, his blood was poured out for us, our sin was paid for, the distance between us and God that was separated because of our rebellion and our pride was brought back together. We were restored in Christ. And this is the foundation for all of life that we have, both here and for eternity. That's what we celebrate. Thank you for coming to die for our sin. Thank you for coming to restore that broken relationship, to bring back to life our dead spirit, for infusing our soul with invigorated life, abundant life, and for pressing outward to the farthest reaches of where sin has damaged us, even to our bodies, and giving us wholeness. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your broken body, so we could be whole. In Jesus' name, amen.